Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are possible with God. With God.
Let's get Amen. Four. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank God for you guys. Thank God for the praise and worship this morning. And we just want to welcome our first-time visitors. As if this is your first time being with Father's Vineyard service this morning, we just want you to just kind of wave your hand. If it's first-time visitors, amen. Thank you. Appreciate you coming. And at the end of the service, if you'll meet our pastor, Pastor Terry, at the back, we have a gift for you for coming and being with us today. And also, we just want to thank our new honeymooners back there, Marvin and Dawn. Good to be with us today. How you guys doing? Good, good, good. They were married. It's been a week now. Okay, a week now. Amen. Amen. Thank God for them and Marvin. Amen. And also, we just want to thank God for all fathers today. Amen. We just want to say happy Father's Day to every father that's here. And thank God for you, you know. And let's just give our fathers a hand this morning, if you would. Amen. Thank God for you guys. Amen. You know, we could have just kept worshiping God off of that song. Amen. How many know that's, whew, that gets you to boiling, right? Amen. But I think I have a word. Just the word today is, you know, and I hadn't talked to Pastor Charlie, but every one of the songs was just preaching on my message this morning, because my message is a loving father. Amen. You know, and how many know that as Michael was saying in the song, that he's put us back together again. You know, and so many times as fathers, you know, we don't always start out the way God intended. Come on, let's just be real with it. Because, you know, we have fathers that were in the flesh that were, some were good dads, some wasn't too good of a dad, and some wasn't dads at all, you know. And that's not to shame anyone, but how many know when we're born in the world, how many know we're born in sin? Amen. And when we're born in a fallen world, how many know if a person hasn't really been introduced to God and they try to father out of that fallen state? And many a times when they try to father out of that fallen state, we make mistakes. You know, we abuse what God has given us to be a blessing. You know, and you say, well, you know, my dad wasn't too good. And I'm sorry for that. But how many know that we have to understand, we have to back up and understand sometimes, you know, why they react the way they did. See, you got to understand something. If the father wasn't modeled before you, you're more apt to repeat what was modeled before you. So many a times, we don't have good models sometimes growing up because of sin. You know, and people say, well, why would God let that happen? How many know God didn't let it happen? He didn't let it happen. What it was is that we have to make choices. And when we're born in sin and when we're operating under the curse of sin, the choices we make many times are not the choices of God, but it's the choices of that fallen nature. That's why it's so important that we begin to be born again, that we become born again believers, because God wants to put us back together again. See, even though that I had a good dad, you know, my dad was a good provider, because I can talk about my dad, because that's who I lived under, you know, and thank God he got saved before he left here. But I remember growing up that my dad, he was a great provider, but he wasn't too much of a communicator. You know, he provided for us. We had clothes, we had food, we had shelter. He made sure that we had what we need. But because, and I researched some of the, you know, you can go back and research. And I researched, his dad was the same way, was not a talker. And guess what? When I first got married, I wasn't a talker. But now my wife say, you talk too much. Because I'm born again. I'm born again. Amen. I got something to talk about. But my dad, he was a good man. He was a great provider, you know, and he was a warrior, you know, and he taught me, you know, just watching him, I learned work ethics. You know, I know he always taught, if you want something, work for it. Never steal, you work for it. You know, and right before my dad passed, he passed, you're going to jump on into that, you know, move a little forward here. You know, before he passed, he was on his, in the hospital, and I went to visit him, and he said, son, he said, I want you to forgive me for all the things I didn't do right. You know, and that broke me. And I said, Dad, I love you. He said, I love you too. He said, but I know I wasn't always there for you. You know. And I remember playing baseball, you know, because I was an athlete, you know, all my life from 10 up until I was in my 20s. But I remember the first time he came when I pitched, you know, and when I looked over and I seen him sitting out in the car, he didn't even get out. He was just sitting in the car. And I looked over and I seen him. And man, what did that do for me? You know, and I reminded him. I said, well, Dad, you was there for me. You know, and I knew what he was talking about because, see, I had gotten saved and I realized about the generational curse and I realized, you know, the absentee of fathers. I realized that, but what he was doing was amending. He was mending what he hadn't did. You know, and he told me, he said, son, you go make something out of your life. He said, you're a good man, you know. And how many know that's what we want to hear? You know, many a times we want to be affirmed as men. And when we haven't been affirmed, we try to fill that void and that affirmness with a lot of other things, being macho and all these things. But really what we're after is just to be confirmed by our Father. And that's why I tell my sons I love them, you know, because I mean, it was years before my dad ever said, I love you. But on his dying bed, he began to talk to me, communicate to me, you know. And that left it filled the void that nothing else could ever fill except Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he confirmed me. See, and that's what men, young men are looking for, is just to be confirmed. That's why men are drawn to you, Pat. Young men are drawn to, they just want to be confirmed. They want to be confirmed as men, you know. But out of all that, I realize that I have a heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. See, if your dad was absent, if your dad wasn't there for you, now that you have a heavenly Father that's invited you to be born into his family. Amen. And I just want to read some scripture to you, and I just want to go into this. I don't want to, you know, stay within the time that's allotted here. But in 1 John 3, and it begins in verse 3, it says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Now, another translation might say that we should be called sons of God. But it's also what it's saying here, that we should be called children of God. And such are we. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. But notice he said that, see what great a love the Father has bestowed or has presented us with, that he gave us eternal life. This is what the Father has given us. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. St. John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. See, we have a right. Now, John 3 says that we must be born again. Remember, Nicodemus came to him and he asked Jesus, he said, now, I know that you're a teacher from God, but all these miracles and signs that you are doing, how do you do these things? And Jesus told him, he said, you must be born again. See, when we're born again, guess what? We're born from heaven. See, we're born from heaven. See, and the song that he puts us together again is the heart of the Father to begin to restore everything that was lost through Adam. And he wants to restore us men back to the place of our original intent, to where we begin not just to rule and reign, but to lead by example. And how do we lead by example? By first of all, we need to be born again. Because if we're not born again, we're more apt to repeat the curse. But if we're born again and we have received Christ, we can begin to learn the life of a good father because we have a good heavenly father. See, and whether you realize it or not, science and all these things tested has proven that the blood of a child is of the Father. Amen. And guess what? The Father, if you're born again, the blood of our Heavenly Father is running in your veins. Therefore, you can do what your Father says you can do. You can be who your Father says you can be. You can do what your Father says you can do. You can live the way your Father says you can live. But the problem is, many of times, it hasn't been revealed to us. Now, I'm not taking away the second coming, because I'm going to share something with you that I've seen in the Word of God, to where we need a revelation of the loving Father. We need a revelation of a loving Father. See, the Father's love is unconditional. It's the word that we get from the Greek, the agape. And what the agape does is it don't give me what I deserve. It gives me what I need. He looks at me and he gives me what I need. I needed saving, so he saved me. I needed rescuing, so he rescued me. See, I needed deliverance, so what? He delivered me. Now that I've been set free by the Father, guess what? I'm at liberty to live the life that God intended me, that Heavenly Father, that Daddy, Papa God, intended it for me to live. Amen. I'm free to live that life without any restraints. Why? Because Daddy said I can do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He give us power to as many as receive them. We have the right to be what? Become children of God. Even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. We're born again by God. Not of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed which live and abideth forever. Verse 2, beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Now listen to me. I'm not taking away the second coming, but this appearing here is a manifestation or revelation of God, of who we are in him. See, what he's saying here is that, notice what he said in verse 2. He says, we know that when he appears, have he appeared to you? Have he appeared to you? See, he appeared to you. It's evident that he appeared to you if you're born again. Because Jesus said no one can come to the Father except what? Through him. So we're in the Father because of Christ. Now that word appears, what it means is to make manifest. Make known. Check this out. Take the lid off. Take the lid off. Amen. I mean, you know, when you take the lid off, that means some goodies is there, right? Amen. It's the act of divine revelation. And look, listen at this. St. John 14, verse 21. He whom has He whom has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will come, listen, and I will love him. Check this out. I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, loving is just not for me. But do you realize this morning when we begin to engage with the song about his love, you know, what was that word that he's nothing like him. When we begin to embrace him, how many know that begins to be a shift in the air? The atmosphere. You know why? Because now he's beginning to manifest himself. See, his presence is everywhere, but he don't manifest himself everywhere. But to you and I that have already embraced him, I'm going to know that there's no limitations to him manifesting himself to us. That's why we have been called into fellowship, because we can have access to him by faith. So listen to what he's saying here. And then the question was asked, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? You know why he don't manifest himself to the world? Because the world don't know him. They're still in darkness. This is where you and I come in, because when they begin to see the light, when they begin to see the love, when they begin to see the peace, when they begin to see the joy, how many know God is manifesting himself to the world through us? And man, and then God begin to deal with the world's heart, amen, to bring them unto repentance. Then he begin to manifest himself to them in a deeper way, in a more intimate way. And this is what the Father has given us, union with him, that we can have intimacy with him, that he can see into us and we can see into him at any given moment. Why? Because we have that freedom, because Papa God has already accomplished it for us. See, but many a times, you know, back to this word, his appearing. See, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. How many know revelation unveils us? And that's what Paul prayed in Ephesians. Check this out. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart. You know, that caught my attention. I've been reading this for so long, and I never paid that any attention. I've been saying that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, but he said the eyes of your heart. That center where God conceived, the conceptions takes place in the heart. And that's why it's a heart matter. See, Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. See, God knows those that are worshiping from the heart. Because then it's like a ricocheting that God began to vibrate and move. But see, when it's just lip service, God sits in the heavens and he just withhold himself. Because you know why? He's not pouring it out on flesh for flesh to boast in flesh, but he's dealing with the heart. And that's what Paul is saying, that the eyes of your heart, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Do you not know that when God begins to give revelation, you have confidence, you have assurance. See, we still feel things in this old flesh, but the revelation of God overrides the flesh. The devil say, you ain't gonna make it, but you say, I know that, I know that, I know that I'm gonna make it. Because the revelation of God has already said, I overcome. I was chosen from the foundation of the world. I've been predestined by God. I know I'm gonna make it. Do I get down in the flesh? Yes. But there's something greater on the inside that when I get down now, I realize the revelation says, John, you can get up. Yes. Remember last week? We can rest on him. Lean on him. Talk to him. Tell him how we feel. God, I ain't feeling too good right now. God, I don't feel like I'm an overcomer right now. And he just says, son, it ain't on your feelings. But what have I said to you? Okay, daddy. You said it. I know you're going to back it up. Amen. How many know if you're a young boy, when daddy around, you get bold then. Amen. Hallelujah. Daddy's around. Amen. So he's a loving father. But you say, well, you know, because God loved me, you know, and don't have this misconception that you think, well, because God loved me, you know, God is never going to, he's never going to do anything to me. He's never going to correct me. But how many know the sign of a good father is his discipline?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Then they always feel good. Hebrews 12:4 says, and you have not resist the point of shedding of blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exaltation which is according addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the disciplines of the Lord. See, people think, well, because God loved me, I can just do what I want to because God loved me. Uh-uh. That's a misconception. See, Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separated, not isolated, but separated. And he said, and I will be a father to you. You know, and you will be my sons and my daughters. So we got to understand something. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. This is why that we don't deal and we don't do things like the world, but we do things after the Father God has taught us. What Popper is teaching us through his word, this is a way that the church operate. We don't operate like the world. Amen. And I know that a lot of people say, well, you know, I can have the world and I can have God too. Nope, that's not true. Because he called you out of the world. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the disciplines of God, sometimes we think, well, because God loves me, he won't do anything. But how many know? You got to understand something about God. And I don't understand everything about him, but the little bit that I understand, I share it with you, okay? Listen, verse 6, it says, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. God ain't like it. You know, God, Jesus bore my wrath, and that's true. But he ain't talking about wrath here. He's talking about discipline. See, if you're an athlete, if you played any kind of sports, you know about discipline. Okay? Where did I stop it? Okay. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son which he receives. He receives. In other words, God will give you a whipping. You say, nah, he loved me too much. This is proof of, have you ever been getting a whipping? They said, now, son, I love you. This is going to hurt me more than it's hurting you. Daddy, this lie. Lord Jesus. I'm laughing because this child go. One time this man was telling his daughter this, and he was disciplined in front of us. It was some couples, and he was disciplining his daughter, and he said, honey, daddy love you. And she said, she he said, are you speaking in tongues? Daddy, you love me. Daddy, you love me. He said, this is going to hurt me more. He said, she said, now, wait a minute, daddy. This ain't hurting your bottom. It's hurting mine. She didn't say bottom. She said something. Daddy, what'd you, what? But anyway, It's the love of the Father. Why does he discipline us? Let's figure this out, okay? And then I got to move on, okay? It says, for it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons or daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In other words, if he don't discipline you, he's not your daddy. Say, why does he discipline me? He corrects me with love. See, you know, I used to think whipping was the only discipline, and you know, and I'm confessing, I used to think whipping was the only discipline that a child needed. I just whoop them real good. They'll get over it. No, that's not the only discipline. You know, you can ground them. You can take their cell phones. You know, you can stop them from driving the cars, you know. I mean, there's many ways, but we discipline in love. And some people say, well, when I was disciplined, I was beaten till I was bleeding. How many know that's abuse? He said discipline, not abuse. And God does not abuse us. He disciplines us with love and care. Why? Because furthermore, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Should we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but the discipline for us, but he disciplined us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. He disciplined us for our good. This is why we don't need to be afraid when we miss it. Amen. Listen to me. This is why we don't need to be afraid when we miss it. We need to run to Daddy God and confess, yes, Daddy, I missed it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to discipline me. He's going to correct me. But you know what I've learned about him when he corrects me? He gives me the power to do it. He don't discipline me and say, now you go do better. He disciplines me so I can be partakers of his holiness. See, and when I'm partakers of his holiness, what he's doing is cleaning me up and putting me right back in right standing with God. See, his love. See, that's why we serve God willingly, because we love him. Not out of regret. Not trying to fix something in myself, but I bring myself to God because I know that he's the one that can empower me to live victorious over this old flesh, the world, and the devil. But what many a times what the enemy want to do is bring condemnation. Well, God is mad at you now. God don't like you the way he used to. You can't be close to God now. You got to go fast 21 days and then he will accept you. How many know that's a work? I'm trying to work my way back to Daddy. See, and he said, do what? Come unto me, all you that are heavy and heavy laden. Amen. See, when you got a daddy that when you make a mistake and he don't beat you up over that mistake, but he corrects you and he tells you the consequences of what you're doing, I mean, you know, you appreciate that daddy. And that's the way Daddy God is. He loves us in a way when even when he's disciplining us, it's with love and care. Amen. All right, I'm about through. It says, all discipline for the moment seemeth not to be joyful. Can we say amen? Amen. It don't seem joyful at the time you're being disciplined. You know, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards you yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. See, he's not doing it to damage you. He's doing it to make you even older. See, But it's the love the Father has bestowed on us. He's bestowed the relationship with Him, the gift of His Spirit that He's giving us, that we have free access to Daddy God. And in my closing, check this out. Matthew 6 and 23. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? See, you are worth much more. You are worth it. Amen? You are worth it. I think there's a book that says you're more than that. Bishop Wilson. Oh, Terry Wilson. Yeah. Amen. You're more than that. Say, we're more than that. Why? Because God says you are worth it. Amen. Why was you so worth it? He gave His only Son to die on the cross, to suffer and die on the cross, that you and I might have right to abundant life in this earth today. But it's the revelation. God wants to manifest Himself to us, to give us confidence that when things are going the way they are in this world right now, chaotic, we can still hold on to confidence because God has got this in control. Amen? Because He said, in the world, you will have trouble, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. And you know what? The overcomer is in you. Amen? If He overcome one time, guess what? He's overcoming again in us, in this earth. Amen? Father, we thank You today, Lord. Thank You so much for Your word, Lord. And God, we just pray, Father, that You will begin to manifest Yourself to us in ways like we've never known before. And God, we pray for those that are watching today, Lord God, that You would just begin to manifest Yourself to us. God, we need to see You, Lord God, for who You really are. God, You are not a religion. You are not a tradition. But You are the Almighty, powerless, power God. You are the Almighty God, the powerful Lord, the powerful God, that can do all things, that can do exceedingly abundant above we ask or think according to the power that's in us. So, Father, we pray, God, that You will manifest Yourself to us in a time like this, that we will follow Your instructions, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good word, brother.
Thank you.
Good word. He always brings a good word. Before we go, I want to remind the parents, and I want to challenge the fathers online and also the fathers that are here. We have videos that are put on our website by our nursery workers and our children's church workers as well. And really, they're there to help you guide your children. Because they can't, well, right now we don't have the nurseries going and we don't have the kids' church going. But fathers, it would be great if you would just take your children, if you have nursery kids and elementary age kids, go to the computer, fathersvineyard.org. There's two videos. One, you say it says which one it is. Lead the way. Most of the time, I bet you it's probably the mothers that pull it up and get it ready for them. But let me challenge you, just don't get the video going and then walk away. Sit with them. Be that model of having interest in what's being done and what's being put into your children as well. But I challenge you, do that today, and that'll be a special Father's Day treat for them. And as you watch what they normally get when they're here, it will bless your soul as well. So I want to challenge all your fathers to be able to do that. And you will enjoy it, and you'll see your children's eyes light up and sparkle because Daddy just didn't get this ready and walk off. Daddy sat down with me and watched it too. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you again, online streamers and dreamers. We just love you being with us, and we want to bless you as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your message that came straight from your heart today. And God, we receive it. And Lord, we ask you to give us the legs and the heart and the eyes and the desire to walk out everything that we heard from you, to be better fathers and better people, to be able to shine your light and give your love to a people who are hungry for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.